You are listening to Everything Environment by MongoBay India. We are all familiar with this buzzing sound. It's the kind you hear from high voltage power lines connecting large transmission towers spread across our landscapes. Power generated from coal power plants, solar parks, wind farms, dams, and other sources passes through these transmission networks and substations to eventually reach the end users. This whole transmission infrastructure can be seen as the backbone of our energy system. Day by day, the share of renewable power entering this system is increasing. If all goes according to the plan, 50% of India's electricity needs by 2030 will be met by non-fossil fuel sources. However, the solar and wind farms coming up or expanding to meet this renewable energy goal are largely concentrated within a few states. To evacuate the power generated here and feed it into the national electricity grid to be distributed across all regions, India will need to upgrade and expand its transmission infrastructure. Renewable energy will have to flow within each state and also through multiple states. Solar power generated in Rajasthan would contribute to the energy demand of an industry near Delhi, and the wind power emerging from Tamil Nadu could power Hyderabad. But to reach 450 gigawatt of renewable energy capacity and install the associated transmission infrastructure by the end of this decade, India needs an additional investment of about ₹17 lakh crores, or 17 trillion rupees. The transmission infrastructure itself needs 2 trillion rupees. That's 2 followed by 12 zeros. But there isn't enough money flowing for the development of transmission infrastructure according to a parliament committee. Without adequate transmission systems in place, renewable energy plants can turn into stranded assets. And that's a fear for project developers and investors. In this episode of Gigawatt, we'll hear about the role of a transmission infrastructure, the need to strengthen this backbone of the energy sector, and some of the main points. I'm Mayank Agarwal, contributing editor at MongoBay India. We are an online publication dedicated to bringing you stories on science and the environment in India. In our special podcast series, Gigawatt, we'll explore some of the biggest questions, challenges, and opportunities in India's transition from fossil fuels to clean energy sources.
You see those large overhead lines, tall overhead lines, those are typically transmission lines. And the transmission lines could be anywhere from 33 kV, 66 kV to 765 kV, 1000 kV. So which are very, very high voltage transmission lines that are constructed.
Balwan Joshi is the managing director of IDEM Infra, who has over 25 years of experience in energy, utilities and infrastructure sectors.
If you are passing below that, you can hear a very typical noise when you are passing below those lines. These are cross-country lines. Some of the lines you would see running from, say, in Maharashtra, Chandrapur to Mumbai. There could be lines which would run from Bhutan, that is outside the country, to Delhi, or cross-country lines between big eastern region to northern region. So this is the network of such transmission lines that which is used to carry large quantum of power from the generating stations to the load centers. Once the line is constructed, any parallel infrastructure you're trying to create are going to create inefficiencies and going to increase the overall cost. Once it is structured, once it is constructed, it's going to be there and we have to make best possible use of that particular infrastructure. So that's a very peculiarity of any network infrastructure. Be it a power transmission, be it roads, be it a water, be it a gas pipeline.
Hence, the transmission business is considered a natural monopoly. India has one national grid connecting 5 regions, the north, the south, the east, the west, and the northeast. All power generators, coal power plants, solar parks, and so on, feed power to this grid. Balwan says that India has a robust transmission network that has allowed electricity to reach most parts of the country. We also spoke to Deepak Krishnan, Associate Director for WRI's India's Energy Program, to know more about transmission infrastructures.
Transmission also fulfills certain key roles, particularly in ensuring the reliability of the network. Now, let's say you are located in one part of the country and you have a set of generators to whom you have contracted to. If one of them develops some problems, if you are part of a larger transmission network, you always have additional generators that can be called into service to meet the immediate need. The advantage of transmission is the flexibility need, which in the context of renewable energy coming in, it's very crucial, particularly if the spread of your network is across a very large area. You can take advantage of time differences where, you know, renewables is active in one part of a particular region.
Transmission lines also connect India to its neighbors, Nepal, Bhutan, and Bangladesh. The Green Grid Initiative announced by India and United Kingdom at the UN Climate Conference COP26 last year further aims to connect about 80 countries. So, even if the sun has set in one country, the grid can be powered by solar because the sun is up somewhere else. Clearly, as the amount of renewable energy produced increases, the need to absorb all this new power efficiently into the transmission network becomes integral. A map of the proposed and under-construction power lines of India well illustrates the requirement. These power lines are concentrated in parts of Rajasthan, Run of Kutch, and some regions in South India, such as Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, and Tamil Nadu. These are the states that have the most solar and wind potential. The lines are also dense in the northeastern states due to hydropower projects in the pipeline. You can get a link to this map in the show notes.
So the overall robustness of the transmission infrastructure, in my view, that exists. The specific challenge is the evacuation of iron. There is a connectivity issue on the generation side, especially the renewable energy generating plants, which are coming up in the nook and corner of the country and for whom there is no easy connectivity available.
Without adequate transmission infrastructure to evacuate the generated power, a solar park or a wind farm can turn loss-making. And if the available transmission system cannot absorb the renewable power generated for any reason, it again leads to loss of numerous resources and investments.
As far as the RD project is concerned, it can be constructed, both solar and wind, within 18 to 24 months. The time required, or a gestation period, what we call it, for the construction of the transmission line is longer.
It can range from 3 years and beyond.
The reason is the transmission line has to acquire right of way. So they have to acquire small parcels of land to construct transmission towers to be able to carry the transmission lines.
Currently, renewable energy occupies 40% of India's installed power capacity. This large share of power can be transported to different states through interstate power lines for meeting the energy demands of the country and for full utilization of the resources. But according to the International Energy Agency, one of the significant barriers hindering a large increase in the interstate trade of power is the lack of transmission capacity. The increasing transmission investments translate into increasing transmission charges, which also puts pressure on end-user electricity tariffs. Transmission infrastructure is installed across long distances and often cuts through areas with rich wildlife and plant life or lands that support people's livelihoods. The time and investments needed to build these can be higher.
If you ask a developer, they will definitely say that environment concerns are hampering building of these lines. And I'm sure both of us and our listeners, you know, would keep the Great Indian Bustard rulings by the Supreme Court in mind.
One of the looming threats for the roughly 150 remaining Great Indian Bustards in India is the rapidly increasing energy infrastructure. The birds collide and die due to high-voltage transmission lines crisscrossing through their habitats. You can hear more about this bird and the threat it faces from the clean energy sector in our third episode, Renewables Go Reckless. In April 2021, India's Supreme Court directed the governments of Rajasthan and Gujarat to consider laying all power lines underground in the birds' existing and potential habitats. Power developers and even the center resisted this order.
If you take a look at projects within a city, for instance, where, if there is an extra flyover that needs to be built or some elevated section of the metro, then people are actually willing to realign or even, change it from overhead to underground. And all those modifications they are willing to do as far as transmission lines are concerned. But when it comes to biodiversity, because there is that hard infrastructure, tangible value is not being perceived. People seem to be taking this argument that, it adds to the cost of renewable energy projects and therefore it's hampering the growth of renewable energy. I don't think that is a valid excuse anymore because, just because we are not able to evaluate put numbers to what biodiversity means, you know, on a balance sheet, that doesn't mean that, you know, those, you know, considerations need to be wished away. I think some amount of cost needs to be added on. If it has to be added on, then we'll have to find some ways to pay for it.
In order to strengthen intrastate transmission and evacuate large-scale renewable energy, the central government started the Green Energy Corridor project in 2015-16. Under phase 1 of the scheme that will end in 2022, the target was to set up approximately 9700 circuit kilometers of transmission lines for the evacuation of about 24 gigawatt of renewable energy in 8 states: Tamil Nadu, Rajasthan, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Maharashtra, Gujarat, Himachal Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh. With over rupees 100 billion sanctioned, the projects are under various stages of completion. In January 2022, Phase 2 of this scheme was approved for setting up another 10,750 circuit kilometers of transmission lines for the evacuation of a 20 gigawatt of renewable power in 7 states: Gujarat, Himachal Pradesh, Karnataka, Kerala, Rajasthan, Tamil Nadu, and Uttar Pradesh. While the schemes are ongoing, Balwant and Deepak emphasize that there is often a lack of coordination and planning at the state level to build the infrastructure.
I think the challenge that is facing the industry, both RE industry and the transmission industry, is a little bit of lack of coordination. The planning philosophy has to change. The old planning philosophy of, you know, planning thermal projects, hydro projects, and long transmission lines give way to very nimble planning framework for transmission, especially given that the gestation period for the renewable energy projects is short. It's 18 months to 24 months. So the transmission has to keep pace with it so as to ensure that there are neither stranded RE assets nor stranded transmission assets. And so the what is the main initiative that is required from the government side is that a new planning framework, new planning philosophy, if required, new institutional structures. This issue is not as grave at the central level as it is grave at a state level. So we have to remember that there is something called Central Electricity Authority at the national level, which does planning. Who does planning at the state level? There is no counterparty of the CEA at the state level. So as a result of that, the planning is little haphazard at the state level. We need a planning body at the state level, which would coordinate with CEA, which would coordinate with the state transmission utility, and that's planning for transmission infrastructure in the state.
Since renewable energy centers and the areas of demand can be far off, Balwant says that there are some ways to navigate issues related to long distance transmissions.
We are a large country. What we have been trying to do is that we are trying to develop one size fit all solutions for issues like transmission. What we need to do is that we need to identify the solutions which are specific to the local issues. Now, let's the case of Andaman Nicobar Islands or Lakshadweep Islands. You can't be having the transmission infrastructure as a solution. What we need to do is for renewable energy, we need to have a good storage solutions, island-specific storage solutions, and for which some benefit need to be given. Similarly, if there are remote areas, again, the transmission may not be the best solution. So the solution would be to have some kind of off-grid infrastructure that would help provide reliable power, but at a lower cost. So this is the challenge for expanding renewable energy footprint across the country. Also, what we need to do is that we have a couple of states, like look at Ladakh. One of the best solar resources exists in Ladakh, but most of the energy that is used in Ladakh is diesel. Similarly, if we are able to figure out a way to bring that power to the northern states, that would be really helpful in balancing the grid. You don't have to power the entire network through only Rajasthan or some of the western states, which are also developed. And as a result of that, the cost of the land is also very high over there. So I think some compromises would be required in terms of how do we look at the transmission expansion and how do we look at solutions for transmission. Second initiative that is required is enable funding. While I talked about the tariff-based competitive bidding,
Under the tariff-based competitive bidding norms, the center aims to encourage competition in the public and private sector for the development of transmission projects.
So there are certain guidelines issued by the central government, but those have not been implemented at the state level. Many states have not declared the tariff-based competitive bidding will be mandatory. I think that is something that needs to be done, which would enable creation of the transmission infrastructure in a faster way, in a competitive way, in the most economical way.
Another issue for efficient transmission is that many states lack real-time solar and wind generation data that results in either overproduction or underproduction of power. The center created 11 renewable energy management centers and equipped them with advanced forecasting and visualization tools to help grid operators.
Renewable energy management centers, REMC. So these are units which would take in data related to demand from the users, what are the weather conditions, and therefore make a projection on how much of renewable energy is going to be available in a grid at a particular point of time, so that your grid operation is much more accurate and you don't have sudden drops of renewable energy or unplanned, for which you don't have a contingency plan. So I think that's something which should have already happened. We are quite delayed on that. What is also missing, I feel, is including climate resilience while doing this planning. Of course, I'm not saying it's not happened at all. For instance, lots of transmission infrastructure in the cyclone-prone regions across, during the northeast monsoon. I believe that some amount of additional resilience is built in while constructing those towers, but that's something which needs to be mainstreamed a little bit more, so that all infrastructure related to transmission and the overall grid becomes much more resilient.
A resilient and robust transmission infrastructure will be the backbone of India's clean energy dreams. So it's a crucial component of our goals to reduce carbon emissions too. Please share this episode with your friends and family or on social media. This show was produced and scripted by my colleague Karthik Chandramouli, edited and mixed by Tejas Dayanand Sagar, copy edits by Priyanka Shankar. We got production assistance from Ayushi Kothari, and the Gigawatt artwork is by Pooja Gupta. We will be out with another episode of Gigawatt soon. Take care.